If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me. I'm reading Psalms 51st chapter of 11 through the 13th verses. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. But restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with a free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors the way, and sinners shall be converted unto you. The Church of the Living God tonight is at the crossroads. We're looking down the road of formalism, bridge parties, dancing in the church, card playing, picture show going, namby-pamby, weak-kneed church, with a greater educational system, with higher schools of learning, with a lot more glory for man. We're also looking down the road of old-time, God-sent, Holy Ghost religion. You're at the crossroads tonight, regardless of what church you belong to, if you're a born-again child of God. The churches are going to either grow more formal, our people are either going to grow more spiritual and on fire for God. There's a lot of people today that are talking about God that don't know God. It's a popular thing today to talk about religion and talk about God. There's a lot of big meetings going over the country that are not preaching against sin nor born-again experience. They're only preaching, join the church and do what a preacher says. But what the whole church needs tonight is a good restoring of the joy of their salvation. Some people tonight have only got enough religion just to make them miserable. They don't have enough to go out and enjoy the pleasures of the world. Neither do they have enough to enjoy the joy of the Lord. So they go down through life miserable because they've just got enough religion to make them miserable. They're afraid of becoming on the radical and the fanatical side. They think the church is nothing but a social function that they ought to belong to so they can do more business in the insurance business. Amen. But brother, there's something more to the Church of the Living God than just going to carry on business. There's a joy and peace in God that if you get the fullness of God's joy, it's the happiest life in the world to live. God said, I would that you either be hot or cold. God said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out. To put it in plain English, that means to spit you up. Put it down a little plainer, that means to vomit you out. To put it down where people in Texas can understand me, that means to puke you out. Amen. Somebody said, don't talk like that, you make me sick to the stomach. When I see some of the things sitting on our churches that God's puked up, they make me sick to the stomach. And I feel like puking on them too, and leaving one big puke sitting there. God said, I would that you either get hot or go ahead and backslide and go get drunk and go to honky-tonk and lie and cheat and steal and go live like the devil. I don't want you lukewarm. Somebody said, I'm neither for God nor I'm against God. I'm just neutral. My brother, you're either for God or you're against God. There's no in-between ground. Jesus said, he that is not for me is against me. You're either for God or you're against God. Somebody said, I believe in God, but I just don't live for him. You do not believe in him. If you believed in God, you'd live for God. It would scare you to death not to live for him if you believed in him. Why don't somebody say amen? Our churches has become so formal and so dead and so dry that the only way you can get them to praise God is tell them to. And there's a lot of our churches will not even praise God then. They've got to sing it in a hymn. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. But you let somebody get up in that church and say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. They'd pick you up and throw you out the front door and down the front steps. They believe that you was out of order. And I have seen them even in the Pentecostal churches become so cold and so stale that they no longer have messages in tongues. They no longer welcome the moving of the Spirit of God in the meetings. They no longer welcome God when he begins to have somebody dance in the Spirit. And a bunch of people take the tuck head and sit there with a songbook up in front of their face because they're ashamed of the moving of the Spirit of God in the congregation. They'll sit behind the songbook and peek over the edge of it to see if it's embarrassing them too much. But brother, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am not ashamed of the power of God. And I am not ashamed to praise the Lord my God. For he lifted me from the miry clay and set my feet on the rock and planted a song in my heart and took sin out, brother. I am glad I belong to Jesus. Say amen. Some of the same ones of you, listen to me, some of the same ones of you will get out on the street and curse God on Monday and then sit in the church house on Sunday and sing right in the corner where you are. And if somebody asks you if you're a Christian, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Do you curse? Yes, I curse. Do you drink? Well, to a moderate extent. Do you lie? Well, just little white ones, or little pink ones, or little yellow ones. But brother, in the eyes of God, they're all dirty big black ones. Amen. I said amen. Hell's going to be full of all colors of liars. Amen. The Bible said God made for himself a peculiar people, a bunch of funny acting people. You get up in the morning and won't speak to anybody, you're not peculiar, ordinary. Lying, cheating, steal, you're not peculiar, ordinary. But you say praise God and hallelujah on the streets and they'll mark you down as peculiar. You can go into the post office and tell a dirty joke, cuss. Walk in there in a pair of scanty shorts, so short that you wouldn't have any more on than if I was standing here in my underwear, and they'd put me in jail if I showed up in my underwear. Yet you can walk on the streets of Washington, D.C. half-clothed in indecent apparel, and people will pay no attention to you. But somebody began to pray for the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. And because some man leaves an ambulance bed that he's been bound to for 3 or 4 years and begins to jump up and down, somebody says he's having a fit. Why don't you say hallelujah? I saw him have a convention the other day. I won't call the convention's name, but they had one in the city of Washington. And I think the contest was to see who could get the sloppiest drunk. Going around singing Shoe Fly Pie and Beat Me Daddy with a Salad Fork and I don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. And Davy Crockett, little Davy Crockett, great big grown men and women. Some idiot was going through the hotel lobby with a tomahawk over his head. Somebody else was shooting a blank pistol gun. Two drunks were in the revolving door, and one of them said, "Doors, doors everywhere, and I can't get out." And then they come out here and think we're crazy because God heals somebody and breaks up their crutches, and they begin to jump around and praise God. Then they think we're crazy. But brother, what you need is a restoring of the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and life. I don't care whether you shout or not. I know what I'm preaching tonight. I'm so sick of old dead formalism churches, and brother, it isn't only in the denominational churches, but there's a lot of Pentecostal churches been dead so long they stink by now. Hallelujah. 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 You don't have to do some big thing to lose the joy of the Lord out of your life. Some little teeny tiny sin will sap God's joy out of your life. Amen. I'll never forget, a singer friend of mine was traveling on the train with a preacher evangelist, and as he went to get off the train, a cinder flew and hit him in the eye. His eyes swole and got red, big. He went to the doctor and said, "Doctor, there's something terrible in my eye." I said, "Get it out." That doctor dug around in his eye and pulled out a little old teeny tiny piece of cinder and held it up and said, "Here's your trouble." That singer said, "Oh, doctor, there's something bigger than that." Said, "You better look again." Said, "Whatever's in my eye is something big." The doctor said, "No, it's all it is this little teeny tiny piece of cinder. There's a lot of you that don't have the joy of the Lord because you've got a little old teeny tiny piece of cinder between you and God. Some of you don't stay on these old knees like you used to and pray. Some of you don't read that old book like you used to." I said, "You don't read that old book like you used to. You pick up the newspaper and everything else and read it first. You spend 2 hours with the newspaper and 5 minutes with the Word of God and then wonder where the victory went out of your life." Amen. I said, amen. Some of you don't testify for Jesus in public and in private like you used to. You've lost the joy of your salvation. I know the theologian says that the psalmist David was backslid, but I don't agree with him. He said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Brother, he still had the Holy Spirit. He said, "Restore unto me the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy. Give me the joy that I once had. Uphold me with a free spirit. Uphold me with a free spirit. Then will I point transgressors to thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." I'll tell you what we need in our churches today is a good restoring of the joy of our salvation. Oh yes, I know we act peculiar when we get it. The first time I walked into a Pentecostal church, I was horrified. I sat down on a bench, and a woman in back of me kept saying, "Send the fire, Lord, send the fire." A man in front of me kept saying, "Send the rain, Lord, send the rain." I turned around and asked that woman, "What do you want, fire or rain?" And she jumped up and down and hollered, "Both of them, both of them, both of them, both of them." They sang one chorus 68 times, "I'm in the Glory Land Way." And every time they sung it, they got louder and faster. Amen. They had 5 sermons. They preached and prayed and testified till midnight. Midnight they shifted over into high gear. And then they went till 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, then they went till 4 o'clock in the morning. Now I've seen an ad in the paper by a Pentecostal church here in the city. Said the church of minister of music. Amen. Another one said, in on time and out at nine. When I walked into that church, they didn't hand you no program. You didn't know what was going to take place next. The Holy Ghost run the service. God run the service. I said, God run the service. We did what God wanted us to do. If God wanted us to testify, we testified. We preached, we prayed. We did what the Holy Ghost wanted us to do. We was led by the Spirit of God because we were children of God. But brother, we've got us a streamlined now that even the Church of God sends your programs out 6 months ahead of time and tells a preacher what he's going to preach on at the convention 6 months later. They invited me to preach at a fellowship meeting of one of the big Pentecostal churches, Assembly of God, and they sent me what I was to preach on 1 year before it was time for me to preach, and said, whatever you do, don't deviate from this outline. You know what I done. After they got me up there, it was too late to stop me. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Brother, what we need is a good restoring of the joy of our salvation. Yeah, sure we acted funny. Sure we were peculiar. Sure we shouted. Sure people called us holy rollers. Sure they threw eggs at us. Sure they threw bricks at us. This thing wasn't begun by a trained choir or a minister of music. Amen. Nor a fine pipe organ. Nor plush seats. But this thing started out in the brushes. Started out on the street corners. What are you doing in the thing tonight? Did you come because they had a pie supper? Did you come because they had a soup supper, a chili supper? Did you come because they had an ice cream social? Or did you come because when you come into that church, you saw something different? The blind saw, the lame walk, and the deaf heard. People spit up cancers, brother. That's the reason I'm in this thing tonight. Deaf ears was open. The lame leap for joy, brother. That's the reason I'm in it. I had all the soup suppers and pie suppers and social suppers in the church I was in. I don't care how quiet you get. I just hope you don't scoot so much you wear the varnish off of my chairs. Hallelujah. 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 We used to go to a preacher's convention, and the first thing we'd do is all go to the altar and pray until service started. We'd have all-night prayer meetings and fasting and waiting upon God. We'd talk about what God was doing in the earth and how close the coming of the Lord was. Everybody had on their lips, don't you think it's about time for Jesus to come? Now, brother, you go to a convention, it's a style show to see who preacher's wife can dress the nicest. And put the less on and still be inside the rules in the minute book. Quiet in here. Amen. I said amen. Now they take the whole convention to find out how many you had in Sunday school. If you gave away a Chevrolet car to get them out, or some rabbits, or candy, or how many won the point contest. Give them a bunch of gold crowns, silver crowns, and buttons. Brother, I don't want buttons and pins and crowns and cars and rabbits in the house of God. What I want to do is see the power and the joy of the Lord moving from the front to the back, blind eyes being opened, the lame being made leap for joy. Brother, I want to be in the time when God's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. What's the matter with you preachers tonight? Get in with me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Bless God, I'm going to, sister. Stay with me. We'll go together. Hallelujah! God, give us a joy. I said, God, give us a joy. I said, God, give us a joy. When I preach to Baptists, you Pentecostal people shout me down. When I preach to you, you get so quiet you could hear a pin drop. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Brother, I'm going to preach this thing. If I have to preach it out in the sticks and comb the cuckabirds out of my hair from being in the sticks. What we need is a restoring of the joy of the Lord in our churches today. It isn't some preacher that knows firstly, secondly, or thirdly. It isn't some preacher that has a DD degree or a PhD degree. Brother, this thing wasn't started with men with a great education, but this was started with men with a guitar flung around their neck and an old worn-out Bible under their arm that was willing to go out on the street corners or out anywhere they could find a place to preach in old empty store buildings. And they preached Jesus Christ and the power of God. And people could see it in their face and hear it in their voices. And they could see God demonstrated before their eyes. And souls come running to the altars and gave their heart to God. God, give us a restoring of the joy of the law. I said, give us a restoring of the joy of the law. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The joy of the Lord is the greatest evangelizing power the world has ever known. I'd rather have one person in my church that have the joy of the Lord than 50 of you old dry hides that knew the Bible cover to cover that have lost the joy of the Lord. The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. Brother, I'd rather have people in my church filled with the Spirit of God that spoke the words of God. Amen. Than I would to have you that are well versed in the Scriptures that don't have the joy of your salvation. I was in a meeting in Biloxi, Mississippi. I had a Catholic woman just saved in my meeting, and she didn't know one verse of Scripture from the other. We was getting up one night giving scriptures out, and she jumped to her feet and said, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are." And quoted that little old rhyme that we used to quote when we were children. But you could see the love of God all over her face, and tears was rolling down her cheeks. And she thought she was doing something for God, and six grown men sinners got up out of their seat and come running to the altar and said, "I want what that woman had in her face." Amen. I said amen. Well, I was saved for almost a year, and I didn't even know what the one verse of Scripture in the Bible was. The night I got saved, I didn't even know what the word hallelujah or glory was. All I knew was to run all over that Nazarene church and holler, "Hot dog, I've got it. Hot dog, I've got it. Hot dog, I've got it." And I thought the apostles were sons of the epistles. Amen. That's how much I knew about the Bible. But brother, I did know the Lord Jesus Christ in forgiveness of sin. Brother, He washed my sins away and took the booze habit out of my life and out of my mouth. Took cursing and turned my mouth to praises. Took away all the sins that was in my heart and washed me in His blood. Why shouldn't I holler something? Why shouldn't I shout something? I was a child of the King. I had a right to praise. I'd go down on the street corner and tell the cop about it. He'd say, "Where do you find that in the Bible?" I'd say, "I don't know. I don't know one verse of Scripture from another." But he'd say, "What have you got?" "I don't know, but all I know is that once I was cursing and once I was drinking and once I was lying and once I was stealing, and now I feel so good right down here and I feel so wonderful." And he'd say, "Well, tell me, where is it in the Bible?" "I don't know. I don't know nothing about the Bible, but I know what I got. I never felt so good in my life. And if you'd get what I had, you'd know what I was talking about." You know what the old boy would say? "Where do you go to church?" I'd say, "I go to the Holy Roller Church, Nazarene Church." He said, "I'll be there tonight to see what you got." And I'd see them come down the altars, kneel, and give their heart to God. Amen. I said, amen. I said, amen. This thing's kind of like hatching chickens. I never did hatch any, but I read a lot about it. I know if you put eggs in an incubator and set it at 60 degrees and go look in it, you still just got eggs. You set it at 80 degrees and go look in it, you still just got eggs. But if you'll set that old incubator on 100 degrees and leave it there a while, go back and look in it, the first thing you know, chickens will be popping up everywhere. You know why? You got the temperature just exactly right, and when you did, the chickens hatched. You know what's the matter with the Baptist churches and the Assembly of God churches, the Pentecostal Holiness churches? Too many people running around in it in the 60 and 80 degree temperature. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If you'd ever get your temperature set on 100 degrees, souls would automatically get saved. If you'd ever get your temperature set on 100 degrees, you wouldn't have to give anything away to get people out to church. The church would be so full, people would be hanging in the windows. Come on. If you'd get your church full of the fire of God like it ought to be and get full of the power of the Holy Ghost like you're supposed to be, you couldn't even hold the church on the ground. The thing would be growing so fast that you wouldn't know what to do with it. Quiet in here. I've had women come to me and say, pray for my husband. He's lost. He don't know God. I've lived for God for 15 years and I can't get him to serve God. You know what's the matter with you, sis? I'll tell you. You've never got your temperature on 100 degrees. He'd either get saved or leave you one. He couldn't live with you. The devil can't lay down in the same bed with the Holy Ghost. I said the devil can't lay down in the same bed with the Holy Ghost. Man, it's quiet in here. The devil couldn't come and eat at the same table with the power of the Holy Ghost. Either one would have to go. Either you'll have to get cold and compromise with that old husband, or else he'll get his bag and pack it and leave you one of the two, or else he'll get down on his knees and get the same thing you got. Glory! Shall I say what I'm going to say? Get ready for it. Here it comes. Some of you sit around the table and talk about everybody in the church. Criticize the pastor, the deacons, and everybody in the church. Find fault with all the members. And then at church time, go into your daughter that isn't saved and say, oh, Mary, Mama, so I want you to get saved. Won't you go to church with Mama? Why, you old hypocrite. There's nothing for her to go to church for. You've run down everybody in the church. She don't have any confidence in anybody in the church, or you either. Whew! I said, whew! Hot in here, isn't it? Tomorrow, if you go to Fannin, we'll have this thing air-conditioned. I see one woman just like that. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What you need to do is get your temperature just exactly right. I'll never forget when God saved me. Saved me in a Nazarene church. 4 o'clock in the morning when I got out of that thing, hollering hot dog, running. I went home. I've been coming in drunk every night. I went in this night drunk, but I was drunk on a different kind of wine. This was a Holy Ghost wine. Hallelujah. I went in, I woke my mama up, and I said, Mama, I got saved. She said to my dad, he's drunk again. And I said, no, Mama, I'm not. I got saved. She said, Eddie, get up and see if you can put him to bed. He come out there and tried to put me to bed, and I had one hand up saying, hot dog, I got it. And he'd pull that one down, and I'd put the other up and say, hot dog, I got it. And he said, got what? I said, I got saved. He finally got me undressed, got my pajamas on me, and got me in bed, but I couldn't stay in bed. Man, I'd come up out of that bed with my hands up in the air, and he'd come back and shove me back down again and cover me up again. Say, now go to sleep or pass out or do something. And up I'd come again. I heard him go in and tell my mother this is the worst one he's ever been on. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. He didn't know what was the matter with me. I got saved. I got born again. I got the joy. I got up the next morning, went to the breakfast table. We sit down at the breakfast table. I looked over at my mother and I said, can I say something over this food? She said, what do you want to say over it? I said, is there anything wrong with it? No, Mama, but I just wanted to say, I think you're supposed to say something. I got saved last night. She said, you got what? I said, I got saved. She said, are you still drunk this morning? I said, no, Mama, I got saved. I said, I got something you haven't got. My mother was a good old, well, I won't tell you what church she went to, but she never was born again. She didn't smoke, she didn't cuss, she didn't drink. I never caught her in a lie, but she never did get born again. My dad said, you better shut your mouth. Now you said enough. So I shut up right then. But I couldn't shut up from then on. There was something inside of me that was just boiling all the time. I'd go out in the morning singing. I'd come in at night singing. I'd go back out again the next day to work singing. I went down on the job. The fellow I played golf with, I was manager for the Singer Sewing Machine Company, and I played golf every Sunday with the district manager. We'd go out and get drunk, play golf. He come around, he said, you going with me this Sunday? I said, nope, I got saved last week. You got what? I got saved. Well, how do you feel? Feel wonderful. Well, we can play golf with you saved. I said, no, I'm going to church. Couldn't understand why I quit drinking. Couldn't understand why I didn't cuss anymore. I used to cuss every other breath, take the Lord's name in vain every other breath. But instead of doing that, I was praising Him every other breath. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, you can't quit it, but I'll tell you, it'll quit you if you ever get the joy. I said, if you ever get the joy of the Lord, I'm not talking about joining these old dead dry churches in Washington. I'm talking about getting saved. Getting born again. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He finally fired me because I got saved. But I kept on shouting and singing. And I went in after about 6 months of living for God. I went in one night and my mother said to me, where are you going tonight? I said, to church. Tell me, what kind of a church lasts till 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning? I said, our church does. Well, what do you do all that time? I said, we praise God and sing His praises and pray for the sick and read the Bible and preach about Him and talk about Him. But she said, son, do you have to go to church every night? But I said, Mother, didn't I go get drunk every night? Didn't I go honky-tonking every night? You never did say anything then, did you? Well, she said, I think that you can have enough religion, but I think you're overdoing the thing. She said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Me and your dad's going with you tonight. We're going to find out what they've done to you. I said, thank you, Jesus. That's what I've been waiting on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That night, we got underneath an old tent they had up and having a revival. That preacher gave an altar call, and my mother turned to my dad, said, are you going? He said, no, sir. She said, then get out of my way. He said, I got to go. I'll never forget, my mother's 72 years old, white-headed. She looks like she's 21 to me, though. Down that aisle she went, and down in that sawdust she got, and got her hands up and began to say, oh, God, give me what Jack's got. I don't know what he's got, God, but I got a hat. God, I can't sleep. I can't eat. My God, give me what Jack's got. God, if you don't give me what Jack's got, I'm going to lose my mind. God, I don't know what he's got, but I want what Jack's got. And finally, that old gray-haired mother of mine come up out of there with a smile all over her face, threw her arms around my neck, began to jump up and down, holler, I've got it, Jack. I've got it. 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 Me and her jumped and danced all over that tent, hollering, she's got it. And it was Saturday night, and it was time to buy groceries, and we went down to a market that stayed open all night. That was when they had just opened them supermarkets, and I got a basket, and I began to push it, and she began to put groceries in it, and we came by a can of tomatoes, and she picked it up and saw that red tomato on there, and she said, you know, that reminds me of the blood that washed away my sins tonight. She got one hand up in the air and began to praise God, and that thing set me off, and I went to shouting, and down one aisle of that grocery store shouting, and up the other aisle shouting, and her right on my heels shouting and praising God. We was both hollering and yelling, and the cash registers quit working, and people have quit buying groceries to watch an old woman and a boy shout. And when I come to myself, I was leaning up against the meat counter with my hands up in the air. Turned around and looked at the old meat man, and tears was rolling down his cheeks. And he was wiping it away with that old bloody apron, and he had blood all over his face. And he looked over at me and he said, you've been going to that holy roller meeting, haven't you? And I said, uh-huh. He said, my wife went down there about 3 nights ago and got that thing, and I haven't been able to live with her since. Oh, my. He said, if I don't get what she's got, he said, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And the next night I looked up and down the aisle, came that old meat man, fell in the altar and gave his heart to God. Friend, the joy of the Lord is the greatest evangelizing power the world has ever known. What we need tonight is a good restoring of the joy of our salvation. We don't need a greater educational system. We don't need a finer robe choir. We don't need a musical minister of music. But, brother, what we need is joy. Joy! Joy! Full joy in our hearts. Raise your hands and praise God for the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy. The joy, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy. Stand to your feet and praise Him for the joy. Stand up and praise Him for the joy, the joy, the joy. Ask God to restore to you the joy, the joy.